Hello and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez.
And I'm your co-host, Lasse Vogt. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing, Lasse?
Oh, amazing. It's just always great, you know, chatting with you, doing this wonderful podcast to our wonderful millions and billions of dozens of fans. It's just a blast.
Yes. Now that we got a couple of episodes underneath our belt, and it's going fine. I think it's going good.
Yeah. I also have that feeling. So good. Please, people, send us some more feedback. We really want to know if we are doing good or great or amazing.
Yeah, we want to know that we are spreading as much 90s Christmas cheer as we possibly can, because going back, watching all of these episodes is really giving me that nostalgic Christmas feel that I've been waiting for.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, because, I'm the exact same.
Definitely. But in this episode, it's no exception. We watched another Home Improvement episode. As you can remember from a few episodes ago, we did the first season. Now we're going to do season 2, episode 12, I'm Scheming of a White Christmas.
Isn't it interesting that it's the 12th episode? Wasn't it also the 12th episode the last season?
It was the 12th episode, but you got to remember these shows come out around the same time. So if they come out in September, then do the math. You do about 12 weeks from there. It's around the Christmas time.
Yeah, but also, you know, 12 days of Christmas.
That is very true.
But really interesting.
Yeah, this episode originally aired on December 16th, 1992.
I was already born there. Amazing. At least for a few months.
You were a tiny German baby, and I was a 7-year-old mischief boy.
The best combination.
Of course. And Home Improvement, as we said before, it is a 90s sitcom that aired on the ABC network from 1991 all the way through 1999, the most 90s sitcom. We already went over this on our previous episode, so if you want to hear us talk about our feelings of Home Improvement as a whole sitcom, go back to the first Home Improvement sitcom episode we did, and you'll get all that information there.
But you know you already did that, because you know, we know you are smart, dear listeners.
Yes, wonderful dear listeners that love Christmas nostalgic stuff just as much as we do.
Yes, and why else would you be here?
Definitely. So, Lasse, what is... give us a quick synopsis about this episode.
Oh, yeah. So, the older sons, Brad and Randy, start soliciting donations from the neighborhood for charity and are great successes. However, when presented with the amount of money that they collect, the boys can't help themselves and keep some of the money for themselves to buy comic books and Game Boy games. Remember that?
Oh, man, I remember Game Boy. But I don't remember the original Game Boy. I remember more the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, me too. I had a Game Boy Color growing up. Shared it with my brothers. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, sharing electronics like this, never a good idea, parents.
Either give everybody a Game Boy or just don't buy one at all.
Oh, man. I have 3 kids, and my oldest is 10, my second oldest is 4, and then my youngest is 2. Man, I can't get them anything because they just start screaming. Like, if we ever go out, let's say we're gonna go to McDonald's or something, and my wife orders 2 different types of drinks, I just like roll my eyes, saying I instantly know that they're gonna start fighting over who gets what drink. If you just get the same thing, there's no complaining. But here we go, one gets lemonade, one gets pink lemonade, and they both want the pink lemonade, and it's pretty much the same thing, man. These children. All right, but
yeah,
we're not here to talk about my dysfunctional children. We are here to talk about Christmas, and in this episode specifically, Home Improvement. So,
yeah, the dysfunctional Taylor children.
Exactly. So this episode, it had an actual special guest, and the special guest is the Manhattan Transfer. They're actually a real singing group. Did you know?
No, I wasn't familiar with them at all, so I was watching this episode like, who are these people? I think they're famous, but not to me.
They were really big in the 80s and the 90s. Not so much now, But one of the stars that came up on the show, one of the singers, Tim Hauser, he actually passed away a couple of years ago. So it was really nice seeing him in this episode, like the talking, singing. He was really funny, really charismatic in this episode. So it was good to see him like this, knowing that, you know, he has now since passed, but a good singer too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the number they're doing is pretty fun.
Yeah, so, okay, we are going to take a little break right now, so enjoy this Christmas commercial, and when we come back, we're going to give you a nice run-through, so be right back.
And I'm Jess, and we're Hallmark
and Jess.
I feel like we're at a car dealership commercial.
We swear we won't talk like this during the podcast.
There's two things we love most in this world.
Hallmark movies and Lacey Chabert.
And we're breaking down all of your favorite Hallmark movies like...
A Very Merry Mix-Up.
Rocky Mountain Christmas.
And the All of My Heart series.
Tommy, please be my husband.
So tune in every Wednesday, today!
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in again. So let's get right into this run through.
Yes, the opening scene. Jill and Mark are opening a mailed gift box, which I was actually not familiar with. I was watching the first minute of this episode really confused, looking for cheese slugs, and they end up being real small. I was like, what? Cheese? What? Like, gift box? What? This is something... This is something I'm not familiar with over here.
Wait, you've never had this? Like, you've never had a gift box before?
No, I'm pretty sure not. I don't think that, like, is this like, you know, like strangers make gift boxes? Or is this like something like different families do or other family members?
My mind is just blown right now. Okay, so you've never, like, looked in a catalog and... ordered something off of a catalog and it comes in the mail?
You know, and I think you can do this over here, but not really like but I'm not really familiar with like gift boxes. I think it's a thing here, but not like really popular. I might have to look into this, but I was not familiar with this kind of stuff. So
like,
yeah,
like
just another like cultural difference.
If you have a family member who loves cheese, wouldn't you want to get them like a gift box that has a bunch of different types of cheeses in it? As a gift?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, outside of when you're working in show business, or if you are doing something like, kind of like, you know, a few students giving a gift to a teacher, you know, gift boxes or gift baskets are not really that common between, like, family members. At least, you know, with me, it's not really. You know, sometimes you're doing this, yeah, like on weddings. Sometimes, you know, a little bit around Christmas, you know, but it's much more like between certain family members. It's kind of a thing, but only for very, very special occasions, you know, of course, something for Christmas, wedding, sometimes birthday. But I was just something like about this, you know, I wasn't aware of the origin of that particular gift box they are talking about in the episode. So I was just kind of confused. But now thinking about it, we have something like this over here. It's just not, you know, it's. I guess it's not that big of a deal, I guess.
Wow. Okay, well, this is the type of stuff that I really wanted to happen when we started doing this this podcast, because you are from Germany, I am from America. We have very different cultures, I guess you can say. So that's just one of the things that my mind is just blown with.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, as I figured out right now, just thinking about it a little bit, yeah, we have something like gift boxes and more like gift baskets, but it's much more like a family relative thing.
Ah. Okay, well, continue.
Okay. Yeah, the cheese slugs end up being real small, and Tim runs in and wants them to look at the decoration for this year's competition, as remember, it's a big thing for him. And he overdid it, of course. They asks he asks who, where Brad and Randy are, and Jill says they're collecting money for an orphanage, as we established already. And when they go outside to look at the decoration, Tim tells Jill and Mark to wear sunglasses, and the lights come on, and it's so incredibly bright. It's almost as bright as the sun. And there's this really funny moment where Mark is just staring into the abyss and is like, Mom, Dad, where did you go?
So obviously, yeah, they're a little too bright. So, okay, after that, Brad and Randy, they walk in. It seems like every time they walk in, they're always yelling, and this is no exception. They're talking about how bright it is outside, and they start making jokes about that it's really hot out there, and all the neighbors are outside. They're protesting, and Tim's like, oh, well, yeah, everyone's really out there. The whole neighborhood is just sitting right outside the door. He opens the door, and then you hear all of the neighbors yelling in the background, like telling him to knock it off, that every year he does this, and a bunch of other stuff. So he just slowly closes the door and pretends they're not even there. So they ask how the kids did collecting money, and they say, you know what, we did good, we got some money, and they try to explain how much money they're getting. Jill tries to turn the blender on because she's cooking, and the power goes out again, like the normal Christmas joke, I guess you can say. And
yeah, exactly.
She tells Tim, you know, hey, can we turn off the lights until I'm finished cooking dinner? And he goes and he opens the door and he like flips like a switch. It's not even like one of those light switches. It's like an industrial switch.
Yeah.
He flips it. You hear the big ka-thunk, and then everyone like cheers outside and he's waving to everybody like he did it for them. But it was because Jill needed it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, same situation, but different points of view.
Oh, yeah.
And meanwhile, Brad and Randy are in their room and counting the money. And they scheme to only give some of the money to the charity and pocket the rest. You know, $2 for charity, $2 for us. And they think about all the stuff they could buy. And it's all Randy's idea. But Brad goes along with it because he doesn't like to think very hard.
Yeah, he at one point when they're trying to figure out how much money they can make, he goes, if we do this for like for 5 hours for $5 an hour, we'd have like $200.
Yeah, and Randy's all like, yeah, the math teacher must be very proud.
and then I forget who it was. I think it was Brad who. Oh, no, it was Randy who asks, you know, how much do you think a dad makes at tool time? And Brad goes, I don't know, $4 an hour. I've never made $4 an hour, so I don't understand how he can think $4 an hour. Maybe he doesn't think highly of his dad.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they're kids. They don't understand how money works.
None at all. But so, yeah, they're over there scheming, and we get sent to tool time. And Maureen, who is, from what I can remember, she's like a really, really small character in a couple of episodes where she's the daughter of the guy who owns the company, Binford. So she like took over as producer, and she's like taking over tool time. It's explained more in the past episodes, but in this one, she's already in the episode. She's established as the producer, so we're going to go with it. And Maureen comes in and she's asking if they're ready because they're about to record a Christmas commercial for their upcoming special at Tool Time. And Al is dressed up as Santa. Tim puts on an elf hat with those big old ears. Do you remember ever seeing those? I remember seeing those all the time in the 90s.
Yeah, it's not really that big in Germany, but I remember seeing these, you know, in sitcoms and movies and everything. We don't really have like mall centers over here, so of course, you know, the elves, you know, standing around like helping the people to get to him. That's also not that common. So these kinds of hats, and not really, you know, not really big around here, but. You know, we are familiar with them just because of American media.
Oh, nice. Well, like we said, Maureen is slowly, she's taking over tool time, and she even booked a musical act, the Manhattan Transfer. and they're gonna do singing, and obviously it's not what Tim wanted. Tim wanted the barking dogs that sing Jingle Bells. And did you know that this was actually a real thing? There really is a Jingle Bell song sung by dogs.
I didn't, but I'm not surprised that there was something like that.
Well, from what I can see, I did a little bit of research on it, and this Singing Dogs Act was from the 1950s. And they re-released the Jingle Bell song in 1983. So I'm assuming they're referencing the 1983 version versus the 1950s one, because I mean, obviously dogs have what, a 10-year human lifespan at the most, and
10 to 12. And sometimes 12 years if they're lucky.
Somewhere around there, but even 12 years, 1950 was the original dogs, and they'd be dead in 1962. And we're in 1992, so that's 40 years later. So obviously, I don't understand how they can try to book these musical dogs that died 40 years ago. Like, I don't understand what the meaning behind that is. Maybe it's a new act. Maybe it's, I don't know, robotic dogs. I don't know. But the dogs, they're long gone.
Oh, but so sad. Maybe you can find it on YouTube. Who knows? You know, it's like an old recording of it, kind of like Florence Foster Jenkins. You know, you can find her on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, if I could find anything, I'll tag it at the end of this episode. So, listeners, you have that to look forward to.
Oh yeah. Oh, it'd be awesome. So yeah, maybe you should tell us something about the guests they ordered.
Okay, so the Manhattan Transfer, they're a real singing group. There was four vocalists that we see on the show itself, and it the people that we actually see, it's actually them. Three of them, they still sing together, like we said. The other one, Tim Hauser, I couldn't remember his name for a second. Tim Hauser, he did pass away, so he's no longer with the group, obviously. They replaced him. But the other three, which was Janice, Alan, and I can't remember the third one. My goodness, my memory is just going. But they're still there. And the funny thing happened in this episode, like they're introducing themselves, and one of them's named Tim, the other one is named Alan, and they say it together. Like one says, "Hey, I'm Tim," and the other one goes, "And I'm Alan." And then I'm thinking in my head, that's Tim Allen's name. Like, why wouldn't they separate that so we don't hear the words Tim Allen in that in those sentences? I just don't know.
You mind? It's a little fourth wall joke, you know. But everybody knows who Tim Allen is, so it's like, you know, just a little, you know, breaking the fourth wall, winking at the audience, which they do all the time anyway, in a way. So yeah.
Yeah, but the Manhattan Transfer, they had a really good Christmas album, and maybe in a future episode we will talk about it.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I'm not familiar with them, but from what I've seen in this, I could tell, oh yeah, they're a celebrity group, you know. They're somewhat famous. They are well liked, so and what I saw, that was just fine, you know. It's really upbeat, it's really, really nicely sung, so yeah,
but we kind of jumped forward a little bit, so let's backtrack a bit.
Oh yeah, no problem. So the scene continues with Tim and Elle talking backstage, and they get the promo going, and they are on a snowmobile with a blue screen backdrop behind them, and Elle is dressed as Santa Claus, and yeah, of course Tim is the elf, and for some reason they're doing like live blue screening, like where you can actually see the stuff that's happening behind them while they're shooting.
And so obviously
Tim chooses all the things you see in the background, because it starts pretty normal, you know, with like a flight over like a snowy street and snowy mountains, but then he overdoes it with like a jumbo jet behind him, and he throws a grenade, I think, and then they are flying in front of a bunch of cowboys or something, and then he shoots, and he has a rifle and shoots at them, while Al tries to do his Santa Claus impression. And and then he, you know, of course, Tim designed like the snow blowing machine, and he blows more snow on them, and then he falls off. And even though you can see his legs in the background sticking up, his scream, his scream is still like, ah! And I was like, Tim, Tim.
Yeah, and then we get this weird transition where we just automatically go back into the Taylor house. And Brad and Randy, they're going up, they're going back out to collect the money, because obviously now that they figured out that they can pocket some of it, they want to do as much as they can. So they've been out. Jill says that they've been out all morning, and now they're going out collecting again. They're really into the Christmas spirit. They want to help. And then they tell Jill, yeah, we only collected $5 this morning, so we want to go out to try to get some more. And I mean, that was a big mistake on their part. Like, if you're really scheming something, never give specifics, never say $5. You just say, yeah, we collected money, it wasn't that much, and then be done with it. You never give specifics. I don't know why I'm giving people tips on scheming. But Jill, she's a mother. You can't put things over mother. She instantly knows something's going on. So she's digging through the stuff, like, not really on purpose, but kind of on accident. She's finding a lot of the stuff from like Rooster Man comics. I've never heard of Rooster Man, so I'm assuming it's just for the show. And she's finding other stuff. She finds very expensive stuff, like a watch and a locket. Well, actually, at this point, I don't think they find the locket, but they find the watch, and it's really expensive. And Tim walks in, and he starts saying, like, oh, well, I don't know where they're getting all this stuff. They're probably saving their money. He doesn't want to even think that they're scheming anything. And Jill wants to investigate more, but as Tim's, like, looking at this watch, he sits on a box of glass ornaments, and they just get all over his butt, and they're poking him, and he's jumping, dancing, and Jill tells him, you know, run outside, go out there. So they go out there, and obviously, since Wilson seems to always be outside of his house, he's outside of the house. And one cool thing that I did notice about this scene is that I love the decorations that are outside. Wilson has, even though in the last episode he says that he doesn't decorate his house is decorated in this episode. I don't know if you saw that or not. But,
I noticed that. They really caught my eye. It looks really cool.
Yeah, he's got the, like, I always joke with my wife every year, because she likes like those new light bulbs that are like blue color, and there's ones that look like falling water, falling down icicles. She loves those. I hate those. I want the old school, big old, colorful light bulbs like we see in this episode. Those are the ones I want outside of my house. But obviously, since it's my wife, she wins, and she gets her pretty little lights, and I have to settle for putting mine inside the garage. So Wilson's house is decorated. I really like the way it looks because of those lights. And they're going back and forth talking, and Wilson thanks Jill for the mini cheese lugs that Lassa doesn't even know existed. He says that they went great with the bottle of rum that he got from the airport or from the airlines. And I used to get those all the time when I used to fly all the time. Those were a lot of fun. And Wilson, he gives Jill a plum cake. And he says that on Christmas Eve, the people of Hertfordshire, England, they take the cake, stick it on a cow's horn, and then they throw cider in her face. And that's a really weird line. So Tim and Jill are looking at him going, what does that even mean? And then Wilson goes on to continue that if the cow flicks the cake forward, it means that it's going to be a very good harvest. And I actually looked up this ritual, this fact, and it actually is a real thing.
I think they based it on some sort of reality, you know, they did some research for it.
Yeah, how they found this, I have no idea how they found this, because it took me forever to actually find a real source that said something very similar. I don't remember the source. It was in a rituals book of a bunch of different cultures' rituals, but this was in there. And it actually said that they do put the plum cake on the horn, and they throw cider in her face, but while they're throwing it in her face, they're like chanting, and then everyone that's around in the ritual, they chant as well. It's like a Christmas a religious thing, because they mention God and Jesus and stuff. So
yeah,
they throw cider in her face while they're doing it, and like like Wilson says, if the cow tips the plum cake over, that's going to be a good harvest. So that's kind of what they base it on. And yeah, a real ritual. They don't practice it anymore, obviously, but at one point they did.
Yeah, but I just imagine, you know, the writers of this episode going to a library and, like, looking for a book, weird, obscure Christmas traditions. And then they pick the one they liked the most.
Yeah, because, I mean, '92, there was no internet.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, and I love the way he says it. Like, I had to replay it when I watched the episode, like, 6 times. Because it was so funny, like he says it in this complete earnest deadpan way. They take the cake, stick it on a cow's horn, then they throw cider in her face. And the look they give him says it all. It's just so, so awesome.
But yeah, Wilson, I mean, yeah, that's Wilson. But he goes on to say that that he was in the Christmas spirit, and so is Brad and Randy, because you should have seen the look on their face when I gave them that $10 contribution. And Tim goes, wait a minute, you gave them $10? See, that's what I'm saying. You never give out specifics, because this is what got them caught, basically. And Jill puts everything together, because, like I said, she's mom, and she finds out that they're stealing money from the charity.
Yeah, if they wouldn't take a check. the next scene, Jill finds more stuff in the boys' room, among them a locket, and she thinks it's for her. And later we find out that it's actually meant to be a gift for Brett's girlfriend, and Jill just sits there with a face that both looks like disappointed. Like, amazingly disappointed and also annoyed. just a great mixture of expressions. And the boys walk in, and instead of telling them they know, they play along to see if they will dig themselves deeper. And Jill shows them all the stuff she found. And Brad blames it all on Randy. Yeah, because it was his idea. And they fight, and they get a lecture.
You have to get the lecture about stealing. She says that they're stealing from kids that have next to nothing. I mean, they have whatever they want, and these kids, they have nothing, and they're stealing money from them. So obviously they're, you know, little jerks.
Yeah, and that's also the awesome scene, like when she says, like, you will take all the money, you know, and bring it to the children, and you will say to them that you stole the money. And then Brad sits there, and he's like, but Mom, they're gonna think we are thieves. And then Randy pats his leg like, good Brad. It's like, dang it, why is this kid so funny?
why is he so dumb? Like, he also thought his dad makes $4 an hour, and like $5 every 5 hours equals 200. Like, I don't understand how this kid is, like, also, even in school.
Yeah, like, also, you know, like I said, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, why is he so funny? Like, why is he so charismatic? It's like,
it's his delivery.
It's his delivery. He steals it. It's amazing.
Yeah, but okay, so they get their lecture, and next scene, we're back at Tool Time. The Manhattan Transfer is singing a few tunes while Al gets stuck down the chimney, because Al apparently is still Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's like, you never see him without the costume in this episode. He's always wearing the suit and the beard.
Well,
it's kind of weird.
At this time, I don't even think you see him. I think you just hear him, and then you see his legs when he comes down the chimney.
Yeah, in this scene, but you know, you see him, of course, in the scene on the sleigh. On the snowmobile,
right?
But he's always, you know, he's always wearing the costume. It's almost like, you know, maybe didn't they get the real actor for this chimney scene, and they had to work around it?
I don't know. It could have just been somebody like filling in with their legs. I don't even think it was actually Richard Karn, but it might have been, because later on we actually see him when they're watching Tool Time on the TV, and they're in the background. You can see. You can see Al, he's like, you know, yelling at Tim.
Oh, yeah.
And you see him like stuck on the chimney. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just weird conspiracy theory.
Yeah, we'll never know. But yeah, and here's where the singers introduce themselves, and they say, you know, I'm Tim and I'm Alan. And then I thought, hey, that's Tim Allen, haha, yada yada. So they start singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and they sing it a cappella. And obviously, since Tim doesn't know anything but basic English, he thinks that they said Acapulco, which is a place in Mexico. And it's also a restaurant up the street from me right now. It's called Acapulco's.
Oh, that's awesome. So it works in three ways. Amazing.
Ah, definitely.
Oh, no. And it's also, I have to say about this, Tim Allen dancing with a chainsaw is both funny and terrifying.
Yeah, he's trying to cut Al out of the chimney with like a chainsaw, and I think he's trying to push him down at one point. He's just trying to get him out of there any way he can, and obviously he has this look on his face like, oh really, Al, you had to ruin it, when it was probably Tim's fault to begin with.
Yeah, of course. he's so incredibly funny, you know. He's trying to play along with a song, you know, he's trying to pretend it's all part of a show when it's obviously not. It works so well in a comedic way.
Yeah, it does.
So, scene change. The two boys are in the room again. Not a lot of Mark in this episode, you know. I think he's only like in the one scene or like in maybe like two scenes when it's like about the lights and everything, you know. Yeah. he doesn't play a big part of this.
He doesn't say much. He's just in there for some reason. He's just like a sticker in this episode. That's all he is.
Yeah. So and they the boys, of course, are feeling very bad, and then they get the idea of collecting toys for the orphanage. And it's established that they just came back from apologizing to it, so that's why they feel really, really guilty. It is not really established from the beginning, but we get the gist of it during the scene. And they are going through the toys like, do you play much with this? No. Do you play much with this? No. Oh, and this is Mark's. Dump it.
Yeah, put it in the bag. It's Mark's.
was it like a baseball glove or something like that?
Yeah, it was something. It was hard to tell exactly what everything was because they were holding that bag and they were just throwing stuff in there.
Yeah. And so they go downstairs and tell their parents about the toys they are collecting. So, lesson learned. Wonderful. And then Jill says, you know, Jill encourages them, and she's like, okay, and they are like, hey, we will collect some stuff like in the basement, and Jill is like, just gather everything up that you don't play with. And then Brad is like, okay, Mark, jump in.
Total big brother thing to do.
Yeah, it's really, really realistic when it comes to brothers. After the lesson is learned, it's snowing outside, and Tim and Jill are watching the Manhattan Transfer as it happened on the show. Then they are, kissing on the couch. We zoom in on the Christmas ornaments. Yeah, not quite the end.
We're almost there. So the last scene is Tim comes inside of the house, and he's really angry because he's missing one of his snowmen. Frosty the Snowman is gone. He's mad because he thinks it was Doc Johnson, who we figure out won the lighting competition, because that's what Tim says. And Jill says, you know, Doc Johnson didn't take it. Here it is. And she brings out like this melted snowman. And she says that he had a surge and suffered a meltdown. And all you see is like a pipe sticking out of this huge white mess of plastic.
Yeah. He looks like the Joker after he fell into the chemicals in Batman.
Yes. And Tim is very sad that he no longer has that Frosty.
Yeah, so it's a bittersweet ending for this particular episode. And also the scene, like I said, during the last time we talked about this show, it functions as a foreshadowing to the awful Christmas with the Cranks that Tim Allen starred in some years later. And I actually watched in cinemas, and I laughed because I was a dumb little kid.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, that is that's the run through of the episode. So we're going to play another Christmas commercial for you, and we will be right back.
See ya.
Watch me trick Fred out of his pebbles. Santa! Merry Christmas! Got some fruity pebbles for old St. Nick?
Sure! I've been a good boy!
Santa! Merry Christmas, Fred and Barney!
Barney, my pebbles!
Careful, Fred! Santa's watching!
Happy holidays from Post Fruity and Cocoa Pebble Cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast!
And welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that Christmas commercial. So, Lasse, what did you think of this episode?
Well, you can certainly see that this episode is a big improvement over the last Christmas episode, and that speaks for the entire second season. It's a notable step up from the first season in terms of jokes. It's more over the top. Their reactions are kind of more deadpan and therefore more funny. It's kind of impressive that they take a serious subject matter like stealing from charity as the focus of a sitcom like this. You know, it gives it a certain amount of weight, so the lesson actually sticks. I actually think they mix it up very, very well. The promo video scene is freaking hilarious. And also I get the impression that Tim Allen actually saw the elf hat for the first time when they shot this. He looks like he's barely holding back his laughter when she puts the hat on him. And during the Christmas video, they're leaning both in different directions on the snowmobile. And that's a nice, funny detail, you know, because they obviously didn't rehearse this very well. One of my favorite scenes is when he sits down on the ornaments, and then he jumps up and dancing around like, "Oh, ornaments!" It's so great. Like, he's so good at slapstick in this. And I actually think that this episode also has a very cute and heartfelt ending, you know, and a moral, you know, and it speaks to the whole show, at least at this point, when the boys were boys and not teenagers yet. It's so innocent. And also really earnest. It just, you know, it puts me right in the spirit, and it also makes me laugh. It's really, like I said, it's so much better than the first episode we discussed on this program.
Yeah, I have to agree with you with a lot of those points. This episode was so much better than the first. Even though I love the first, the second one is a real step up, I guess you can say, from as far as the writing goes. As far as this one actually has a plot story, it's not just a bunch of little C plots mixed together to make an episode. This one actually has the Brad and Brandy thing. There's a lot of there's a moral thing to it. You know, you shouldn't be stealing, especially during Christmas time, and especially not from orphan kids that have nothing. And you two little brats, you guys have everything, and you guys just want more. You're greedy. So that rubber band and that button that you got last year, that's what you should have gotten this year as well. But we don't know what they got this year, because we never actually see that in the episode. We just see the Manhattan Transfer, we see the kids being terrible, and we just see what the kids got themselves. The Rooster Man comics, whatever those are. The Barbarian 2 for Game Boy, I don't know if we mentioned that, but that was a game that they wanted. And I wonder what happened. Oh yeah, the watch that they got for Tim. Tim actually kept it, because you hear it in the last scene. You hear the alarm going off on the watch, and Joe goes, "Hey, I thought you were going to return that." And he's like, "Hey, look, my blood pressure is rising." And then they give a kiss. So I mean, he kept that. And then Wilson with his. Weird ritual. I shouldn't call it weird, because I don't like to make fun of other people's rituals and their beliefs, but this one, I would have never have thought this was an actual thing if Wilson never told me.
I heard a lot of other stories about certain, you know, traditions everywhere. You know,
maybe we should do an episode on just weird Christmas traditions.
Yeah, like looking for the weirdest Christmas traditions, you know, and reading them out loud. That would be fun. That would be a fun idea for an episode. Please, people, write us, comment. Should we do an episode like this? We would really like to know. Or maybe we already did, and you just haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, maybe that is correct. But, yeah, so I guess that's going to do it for this episode. And if you'd like to find me anywhere else, you can find me at the Halloween podcast, because that's another podcast I do. You can find us at anywhere at Apple Podcasts. You can find us Google Play, Spotify, you name it, we're there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can find me and my work on YouTube. I have a channel there, The Deppert, where I have some short films. Not entirely, you know, kid-friendly, but I think you can handle it. I have movies in 5 seconds. I have some riffing videos and also, of course, film reviews. My own podcast is called Fans About Films. You can find it on SoundCloud and iTunes. I talk about movies, TV shows, and I also do composer interviews, and they're a lot of fun. So stick around. There are also some curse words in some of these episodes. Maybe you can handle it, but don't bring the kids.
Yeah, this one is a family-friendly show, mostly because I do have kids, and for some strange reason, they like to listen to my podcasts. So that's why I have to make sure that all of my podcasts, anything that I'm involved in, is pretty much, you know, family-friendly, because I know they're going to listen to it one way or another. So, yeah, that's that. And if you like us, if you want to give us any feedback about how we're doing with the 90s Christmas podcast, if you have any questions, comments, or you want to suggest something for a future show, send me an email at 90schristmaspod@gmail.com. And you could also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. That's 90S Christmas Pod. And Twitter too, 90s Christmas Pod. It's all there.
Yeah, yeah, do that. So have a lovely evening and a very merry holy season. All the best wishes to you, and we see you on the next episode.
Yeah, we will see you then. Have a good night.
Good night.